Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. The folks over at touringplans.com have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios Florida vacation. And it's not just about going from attraction to attraction. Of course, you can do that if you like and see many, many attractions in a day. But what it does is it opens up so much leisure time that you have time to visit places like Disney Springs and do some shopping. Or, you know, maybe just have a nice meal and a drink. But regardless, it gives you a lot of flexibility in your park touring, and it makes your next vacation better. So check them out today. Grab that premium subscription over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1048 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you and happy August. Where is this summer going? Man, I go back to school in 2 days. This is ridiculous. It went way too quickly this year. And of course, yesterday we had our big 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World. We are recording this one, obviously, a little bit early before the 12-hour broadcast. But I'm sure we had a great time and made some awesome magic for the angels down at Give Kids the World. So thank you so much for being a part of that. Today, it's Monday. We're going to have another great trip report. And we have so much to talk about today. It's unbelievable. Sit back, put your seatbelt on, because we're going to go through some of the best Disney experiences you can imagine. So joining me to talk about this, we're heading to New Jersey with Ron. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I am doing great. Thanks a lot for carving out some time and starting the week the right way, because, man, you had an epic trip last December that we're going to talk about today.
Yes, we did indeed.
All right, well, let's get rocking into this, because we only have about 30 minutes or so, and you guys did so much. So summarize the trip real quick. Kind of, I know you stayed a couple different places. You went on a cruise, but then we'll kind of dive into each segment of the trip.
All right. Well, we started off with two nights at the Grand Floridian Villas. We did a Lakeview room because my wife loves the sounds of the horns and the trains and the whistles you hear from there. We did Mickey's Christmas party on the second night there. That was a Sunday, I believe. And then Monday, we headed off to the Dream for four nights, staying club level in a family suite. From there, we moved on to two nights at the Beach Club Villas. And that was also one of the last nights we did the lights, the Christmas lights.
Yeah, Osborne lights.
Osborne lights. And that was amazing. It was our first time and, of course, obviously our last time. It was quite an experience, quite an evening. And we also squeezed in some peaches, actually a peaches and cream reservation for dinner that night.
Oh, now you're just rubbing it in. Now you're totally rubbing
it in. Hey, I literally did that 180 days out. I'm like, you know what? We're going to be done with the cruise. I'm going to be full. I'm just going to want something simple. So a burger and fries was the ticket. So we secured a good spot for a peaches and cream, and then off to the Osborne Lights that night. It was quite an evening. And then I think we even had late night pizza from the quick service place over at the hotel at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man, you're a man after my own heart. You're smart, because after a cruise, you're kind of fooded out. You just want a burger and fries.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, you know, we had Palo reservations twice for dinner and for the brunch, and after that you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you're quite full. And we also had a Star Wars premiere that we had to attend on the ship.
So much to talk about. Okay, so let's go back. It was your wife and yourself and your 7-year-old son Logan, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so let's talk about the Grand Floridian Villas, because, again, one of the newest places to stay. You guys are DVC. You stayed in a one-bedroom with a lagoon view. So review that real quick for our listeners that are thinking about staying there.
It's absolutely beautiful. The rooms are stunning and huge. I mean, you could probably, if it wasn't for the fact they say it only sleeps 5, you could probably put 10 in there, no problem. It's just immense. You know, and it's nice that they have the features. You mean a TV in the mirror in the bathroom in your jacuzzi tub. I mean, who has that?
Yeah, come on. No doubt. Is the service there like? Because I haven't stayed there. Of course, Ricky rubs it in my face. You stayed there one night with Florence, but is there a marked, you know, difference in the service at the Grand Floridian being the flagship resort?
It's, you know, you get off and somebody waits for you with an iPad and they check you in and you go off to your room. They have a very nice setup downstairs. They have the nice fountain with the penguins. There's a concierge desk there, or DVC desk, that helps you with anything you need. They also have a fancy coffee machine there and tea and water always in the morning waiting for you. Something, you know, it's a little level up, you know, for anything you need. It is a bit of a walk to the food places, though, but it's all covered. So that's a nice part.
Nice.
And you get to share all the pools at the Grand Floridian, which is definitely a plus because they have some of the best pools on property.
That's it. And it looks, I mean, and the thing about the villas, too, is, I mean, that's the new part of the resort, but it looks like it's been there the whole time. I think they did a great job of blending the two buildings.
It fits right in beautifully. I mean, you look at it and you go, oh, this, and then you look to the right and you have the, or to the right, to the left, and you, no, well, depending which way you're facing, you have the wedding pavilion right next door. You know, we did a little tour of that, and that's pretty quaint and cute, you know, just sitting right there. You know, you can see it from the back of property right over there. And you got the monorail service to Magic Kingdom 5 minutes away.
And that's what I was going
to
ask.
That's really why we stayed there.
Did you take advantage of going to the Magic Kingdom mostly when you were at the Grand Floridian? I mean, your son?
Yes,
like
we did. That's
day.
Exclusively we went to, because we had booked the Christmas party for our second night there. And we spent our whole first day just bouncing around the Magic Kingdom. And it was nice because we got poured on the second night. And we actually had time to go back, change clothes before the party, and go back out. You know, because we got stuck on Space Mountain, on the other the log ride.
Oh, Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. Yes, we literally got stopped right where the waterfall is, and then it started to pour rain, and then they turned the waterfall on, and we sat there for 5 minutes, all just getting soaked in the boat. So we went back to the We actually took a boat launch back to the resort. Changed our clothes, hopped on the monorail, and back. It was crowded, though. I tell you what, they actually had lines for the monorails at that time. It was a little busier than I thought we was expecting, because we were there on December 12th, I think it was. Yeah, 12th or 13th. It was quite busy.
Yeah, and I think that's what you put in your notes from way back when. The stay took place December 12th through the 20th for those that are kind of using this for planning purposes.
Yeah, it was, but maybe just because of the location, they were having the parties. I mean, if you're going to be there that time of year, I mean, the Grand Floridian is absolutely beautiful. The Christmas trees, the gingerbread house, the smells of it just are amazing. And the lines for people waiting for gingerbread is just amazing.
I've seen it myself. Yes, I've seen it.
It's like, are we going to wait? I'm like, I think we'll just come back later. And of course, you know, it's the time we got back. It was beyond that. But we got to get some good pictures that night when nobody was around.
Yeah, but if you're staying there, you should just sleepwalk like at 2 o'clock in the morning and just bust a shingle off the big house. And there you go.
Yeah, it's quite an experience. It's a great place. And the staff there is amazing. My son collects the transportation cards. I don't know if you guys are into any of that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And he... He got a whole bunch, but at one point we were waiting in line for the monorail there, and he goes up to ask the guy that opens the gates and everything, and he's up there for like 5 minutes, and I see the guy writing stuff. I'm like, oh, tell me he did something bad. And the guy comes back, and he walks up to us, and he says, we don't have any more transportation cards, but your son acts so nicely and politely, and I feel bad. Here's a fast pass for anything in the Magic Kingdom. That's where you're going tonight, right? And I go, yeah. And he gave us one of those pink papers.
Yep.
And that was like, we already used our fast passes earlier that day. And this was when we were going back for the night part. And my son loves Mine Train. So we did Mine Train and we did Splash Mountain again.
Nice. You went back
with that extra little fast pass. It was great. I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
You risked your dry clothes a second time. You're a brave man.
Yes, yes, we did. Because it was like, I'm not going back again. Because once we're here, we're here.
So real quick before we head off to the cruise, because I want to hear about the club level on the cruise, you know, concierge level. But how was the Christmas party? A lot of people are asking about that this time of year, planning for December.
Ours was really good. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was our first time. It did rain most of the night off and on, but it was still really pretty. I mean, really beautiful. And the one thing I would say is when you're waiting for the parade, stand next to where they have one of the cast members out there in his little outfit, because they entertained. He entertained a whole bunch of kids that we were sitting with, because we actually had a spot, and a couple had a little incident with a couple of milkshakes that didn't look too good. So we moved down about 10 feet, and we got to this one little spot, and the people were really nice. You know, the kids were in front, and he entertained them, and he was spectacular, you know, because we were there for a good 40 minutes before the parade actually started, because we wanted to get a good spot and see everything. And the rides were pretty much walk-on, except for Mine Train. But aside from that, everything was pretty much walk-on. And we stayed till the end of the night. You know, we got a little wet, but it was worth it. It was definitely worth it. I mean, I know the prices have gone up substantially this year, but that's Disney, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's kind of how you have to look at it. You know, it's like there's really, you know, if you want to have this experience, you just got to kind of pay the piper.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, okay, we're down here. We're going to do it. The one thing I would say is don't do a party till midnight, then have a cruise to get up to the next morning.
All right. That's good advice. Even though the cruise, you know, cruises are supposed to be relaxing and everything, but it is kind of, you know, you have to get yourself over to Port Canaveral. So how was that the next day heading over to the Disney Dream?
It was good. We rented a car. It's the first time we actually rented a car from the airport and had the car for the whole time. So we drove over. We got made pretty good time. Since we were staying club level, we didn't have to wait in that line. We parked the car, got in. I would say after checking in, maybe 15 minutes, and we were on the boat. I'd say we got there around 12:30. Because, of course, my wife has to stop at that CVS before you get on the turnpike there and get those last few minute items.
Yeah, we've been there because Mallory was sick one time and we had to get her some, you know, like a Benadryl or something. I can't remember what we needed, but yeah, we've been to that exact same one.
Every time I come in or go out, I look at that CVS and go, man, the money I've spent there.
Exactly. They could totally just jack up the prices by 10. And you know what? They got you. We're going on a cruise. We got to have it.
Yeah, because once you get to the port, all you want to do, once you see that ship, is get on. That's all you want to do is get on. So there's no stopping it.
So now, had you guys sailed with Disney Cruise Line before?
We did once in 2014, and that's what literally 10 days after we got off the boat, we were like, how do I get us back on here again?
Yes.
And we didn't book anything while we were on because we were just so overwhelmed by everything, you know, and I was just like, okay. And then I was flipping through the schedule, and I just happened to look. I'm like, oh, December 15th. They have this one weird itinerary where usually the Dream goes Nassau, Castaway Key, then a sea day on the 4-day. But this one trip, the only one all year, it was going to Castaway Key right after it left port. So it was like port day, Castaway Key, then it was Nassau, then it was a sea day. And that day happened to be our 10th wedding anniversary. So I just said to my wife, how would you like to spend your 10th wedding anniversary on Castaway Key? What could she possibly say?
Yeah, it was destiny. You had to do it.
You had to do it, right? That was like destiny. So we called up and we booked it and we had to wait another, I think it was 400 days or something like that, because we booked in late August and we had to wait till the following December. But yeah, that's how we got on board, and it was quite the adventure once we did.
So let me ask you about that itinerary, because that is very unusual. Usually you're right. It is, you know, usually you go to Nassau first and then you'll go to Castaway Key, then have a sea day typically on the shorter cruises. Well, you know, because I think they do that intentionally because Castaway Key is kind of like the gem of the cruise. You know, it's like the thing everybody looks forward to on board. What was it like going kind of in that reverse order? Could you tell? I mean, you got the best part of the cruise right off the bat, I think.
Well, it was different in the fact that it was kind of nice because, you know, it was so hectic, you know, doing the party, then the next day, you know, getting to the port, and then even though you've been on the ship, you're still exploring. You want to experience things. We already had reservations for most things, but just talking with people and getting your things, like that night, you know, getting up the next day and waking up at Castaway Key, knowing you just have an incredible day of relaxation ahead of you, is amazing. And we booked a cabana, which made it 10 times more amazing, you know. So
you guys were saying concierge. That's how you got the cabana. I was saying, cruise, you got a cabana. Boy, people are going to be shaking their heads, but that's how you got it. So what was the cabana experience like? Because I know a lot of people have not done that, but they're curious about it.
And the night before, they leave you your wristbands for your room. You get off the ship, you take the tram to the first stop or the second stop. I think it's the second stop. And then they have a little concierge cabana booth. You show them your badge and your paperwork, and they take them in a little golf cart to your cabana. We were cabana 14, which is our favorite pick. We've done it once before, and it's just a beautiful spot. You can't see anything left or right when you're looking out. There's chairs inside. There's a hammock out front. There's a shower. There's a refrigerator filled with fruits and sodas and water and cold towels. There's the magic button my wife likes to call it. You hit the button and a service man comes up and you can order your drinks and they bring them to you.
It's like a bowling alley.
Yeah.
A real nice one.
A very nice one with an ocean view. You don't get that too often. And, you know, there's a fan. They're playing music over the speaker. And then, of course, you have your private beach and you have your mats and your sand toys and your bike. Everything's included. So anything you want to do, you can just go do. You have your wristband on. You want to go snorkel, you go snorkel. You want to get your bike rental, you go get your bikes, ride the bikes. That particular trip, we just hung out at the cabana and hung out at the beach all day and just soaked in the sun because it was absolutely, for December, you know, living in Jersey, it was stunningly beautiful.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, you guys are from Jersey, so you're near the ocean as it is. I know it's not Castaway Key beautiful, but still, I mean, that's neat for you to give it that compliment that, you know, we want to be here all day and we just want to take, because you guys went all in and took full advantage of it. And I think that's the joy of Castaway Key.
Absolutely. I mean, we just enjoyed the beach. We enjoyed cookies. And that was a nice thing, too. We went down, we got our food, and then we walked back to our cabana and we ate in our cabana, you know. Just kind of, you know, in our private little setting, you know, it was tranquil. And I took a nice little nap on a beach chair down by the water, had my little tube. It was great. Yeah.
And you didn't have to contend with those cookies. For those that have never been there, cookies is the barbecue place on the island where you have lunch. But there are these birds that could pick up a small kid and take them out to sea, you know, so you didn't have to worry about them.
Yeah, there was no... No intrusions. There were actually some little fish in a pond the kids were chasing and building sandcastles.
Nice. That's what it's all about. Nice. It's like a moving postcard right there.
Exactly. And when you take the pictures and I show them like the picture of the ship that you could see from here, it's just like, so you were where? I'm like, oh, this little island in the Bahamas. That's where we were.
So, well, talk to us about concierge level, because, you know, I think that some people are wanting to. You guys were on your 10th anniversary. It's a splurge. It's a special occasion. What's that experience like?
Well, it's weird because it started about 125 days before the cruise when the phone rang, and I see it said Disney Cruise Line. I'm like, oh, what do they want? And I pick it up, and it's concierge calling, wanted to know what they can do to make our cruise better. And I was like, oh, and they wanted to know. They gave me, we booked our parlor reservations. I told them the cabana, and I spoke to them about, which I didn't even know you could do. We requested the dining rotation. They have different dining rotations. And my wife loves Animator's Palette, so we want to do Animator's Palette last. And they pretty much called 5 days later on that 120-day mark, and they said, all your stuff is booked. Here's your cabana. Here's your Palo brunch, your Palo dinner. And your cabana number 14 has been reserved. If you need anything else, give us a call. And that is just service.
That is service. But, I mean, that's what's going to leave you with such a smile on your face when you leave the ship saying, you know what, I got everything I wanted to get out of this cruise.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of funny because they actually called back about a month later because they had changed the fireworks to the night we were eating Palo. And they wanted to know if that was going to interfere with our plans. And we're not really big fans of the food for Pirate Night. So it worked out perfect that we had Pirate Night. However, I did not get the chance to do the Midnight Buffet because Paolo totally stuffed me.
You know, and it's not that big of a, you know, I think that Midnight Buffets on other cruise lines are a bigger deal. Disney Cruise Lines is just kind of, I mean, it's fun and everything, but it's not that big a deal.
No, it's just cool the way they do with carvings.
It is. That is cool. People will, like, really want those turkey legs and tacos. I'm just telling you.
Well, you know, you can spend $10 for them on land, or you can spend a few thousand for them and have it on a ship. It works great. When I talk to Len Testa about a year ago when I told him he had gotten a cabana. He goes, how did you do that? I'm like, well, you buy concierge level, you spend an extra $1,000, so you can spend another $600 for the cabana. It's Disney math.
That's what I was thinking in my head here, but I didn't want to say it out loud, so that's exactly how it works.
That's exactly how it works.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, tell us about your stateroom. When you're staying concierge level, where is it on the ship, and what kind of stateroom did you have?
We had a family stateroom. It was on deck 12. There's only 42 concierge level rooms, and we were on the bump, or the hump, or they call it. So we had, our balcony was about triple the size of everybody else's. I mean, we fit a lounger out there, two chairs and a table, no problem.
That's sweet. That is awesome.
And it's pretty much, we were right above the census spa, if you know where that is on the ship. You know that little room that has the two jacuzzis and that little hallway? Yeah. Our room was right upstairs from that.
Nice. Good location.
Great location. We were about 10 feet away from the concierge lounge. We were a couple of steps from the upstairs. They have a private sun deck, which they added a lot of stuff to. They have a private whirlpool up there, big jacuzzi tub, chairs, and they include suntan lotion and face spritz of things, anything you want. And it's very nice in the morning, you know, to go out, get your coffee and your lunch, and just sit on the deck and enjoy. And it's we only had, like I said, the we didn't have like the one bedroom or the grand suite there. Someday.
Yeah, you gotta have something for the 15th and the 20th, you know?
Oh yeah. When I get the $25,000 to rent the grand suite for
me. You can't do it all. Now let me you said also in the email you sent me initially that you had they brought a special character up to the concierge sun deck. Was that kind of cool?
Yes, it was very cool. We got up there and they throw offering drinks and snacks and food, and then this time they had Goofy. He came up, did pictures, autographs with everybody up there, no line, very casual, you know, and he spent about a half hour, 45 minutes meeting and greeting with everybody, with the concierge staff, and he was on his way, and I think we were off to dinner after that, and just very good of the service and the level. And there's three concierge people. Ours was Angelina, Danny, and Tracy, and they were just amazing. Anything you wanted. I mean, when you first get there, they kind of sweep you off to, you know, after you get announced. Someone comes out of nowhere, it seems, and takes you up to the concierge lounge, and then you sit and you talk with your advisors. They give you like a packet of all your information and all your stuff. And the couple of cool things was they gave us envelopes with times for meeting Anna and Elsa and for meeting all the princesses. Like, already done, already reserved. Just show up here and get your pictures taken. And now I see they do that online.
Yeah.
But back then, it was you didn't have to. I mean, I couldn't imagine getting on the ship to have to wait online to go see, go meet characters, to go wait in line to go meet characters. So it's nice that they do that. And this is where my wife found out that we had the cabana, because I had kept that a secret from her. So she, that was because I told her initially, oh, we wasn't really in the plans, blah, blah, blah. And our representative, Danny, was like reading off the list of things. And, oh, I see we have the cabana 14 for you. And she was just like in tears.
Well, you know, she's going to find out at some point anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's just like that works out. And Danny's like, oh, did I make a surprise? I'm like, yeah, that's good. That's good. She could, you know, she would have wondered what the wristbands were or the big charge was.
You know, morning, so. Yeah, one of the two. Now, let me ask you about this, because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. You know, I was at the theater, you know, the first showing in St. Louis, you know, as soon as it came out. You guys, because one of the great things, if you've never sailed Disney Cruise Line, is that they premiere movies at sea the same time they premiere on land for the properties they own, obviously. So what was it like? What was the atmosphere like the night of the Star Wars The Force Awakens premiere?
It was weird, because they had to change all the dining schedules. The first time I've ever seen this, they had the dining, it was all crossed out and handwritten, because they had to fit the movie in two times. They had to move dining up. So we'd say our dining was at 5:15 instead of 5:45. And it was throughout. Now, when we first got on the ship, we saw some of the merchandise. It didn't seem big, but that day, you just felt like like people were definitely there to see it. You saw the Star Wars shirt. You saw the merchandise. People were highly into it. We went down to the 7 o'clock showing, and we went to the big theater. Wasn't full, but you know, we were up in the balcony, and we made it through about halfway. And my son was like, okay, Dad, I think I've had enough now. So I was like, and my wife can't do 3D. So she was just got a headache and she went off. I was like, okay, we'll go see Find Mommy. Well, Mommy was up there doing the aqueduct like 20 times in a row because that's where everyone was either at dinner or watching Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. So. That was, I mean, of all the cruises, if you ever want to do the aqueduct, that would be the time because everybody's watching the movie.
So I was like, all right, we'll throw our shorts on. We did that for about a half an hour, And then everybody went back to the room like 10:30 with some pizza. And at 11 o'clock, I kind of strolled out and I watched the rest of the movie.
Ah, good call.
And it was, and I didn't make it up for the, they had another showing at 5:45 a.m. before the ship docked. I didn't make it to that one, no. But it was quite an amazing experience. And my wife had bought me a shirt. And she went, when she went to get the shirt, she's like, they were all gone. And like, they had been plentiful all throughout. She actually said to send somebody back to get me a Force Awakens Disney Cruise Line shirt. So thank for that for going in there and checking it out. But it was quite intense. And then seeing people in the parks the next day with the shirts was like, oh, I know where you were last night.
Now you're saying so they had a 5:45 a.m. showing the day you guys got back to Port Canaveral?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, that's going above and beyond right there because they want to give you one more shot.
Well, that's what it actually says. It actually, they had a special navigator set up with it. And it was just like, here's your show times. And just, it was called the just in case showtime is what they called it. Because they did it. They did it in both theaters 15 minutes apart. They had movie time 7 p.m. Then they had a 10 p.m. And then they had a, at the Buena Vista Theater, they had 7:15, 10:15, 12:45 a.m. And then he also had a 5:15 a.m. Just a 2D showing. It wasn't 3D on Deparkation morning. So at 5:15, you could go sit and watch Star Wars before you get off the ship.
Wow.
So you could have got it in like three times if you really tried before you got off the ship.
You could, and I guarantee you there were folks that did.
I'm sure there were. I was not part of them. I hate getting up in the morning on Deparkation morning, so I couldn't imagine getting up and seeing that.
It's brutal. You know what? The night you're coming back to Port Canaveral, I never sleep well because I just keep thinking, oh, I only have 6 hours. We'll be back to Port Canaveral. 4 hours. You know, I roll over and see the clock the whole night. It's miserable.
Yeah, usually I go take my photos that night. Usually, like this night was later because the time I got done with the movie was about 12. And then I went up on deck and I just took some pictures of the ship and the hallways and everything and kind of do like a fine farewell till next time. You know, we did book again while we were on board. We booked a placeholder, but that's not coming till next August. It's going to be a long, long, long wait.
Yeah, we got till July. We'll make it. We're going to get there. I can't wait. But, you know, you gotta wait to make it worth the anticipation of the trip.
Yes, I know, but I heard about your 4 day. I'm like, oh, I wish I was there.
Yeah, it was so much fun, but we didn't have I did see The Force Awakens, but it wasn't the premiere, so.
Yeah, well, that was cool. It was funny because when we booked this cruise, the date was back in like July, and then they changed it. And I was like, huh, I wonder. And and it all worked out good. You know, I got to see Star Wars. I got to be on one of the best ships in the fleet and have an amazing 10th wedding anniversary. On top of all of it. And it was just like, and all the ducks hit in a row right there.
Well, and this trip isn't over yet. I know it's a sad day to get off the ship, but you guys headed over to the Beach Club Villas. So tell us about that.
Beach Club, first time there. However, it was a little rainy and a little chilly in Florida that day. So we did not get a chance to enjoy Storm Along Bay. We hit Peaches and Cream for dinner. We went to Hollywood Studios before all that, and we did the usual. You know, we had reservations, fast passes for Tower of Terror and for Toy Story Mania, and I think my wife snuck on Rock and Roller Coaster. Me and my son handed over to Star Wars because she doesn't like that 3D motion stuff. But then we had dinner, and we came back, and we did the Osborne lights, and that was just amazing. Just seeing the lights and the people and the snow and the music, and we were there for a good couple of hours just enjoying it all. We did miss the actual lights on. We didn't get there at about 7, so we missed that, the actual, but it was a great day. It was a great day, and it was a little chilly, but the rain had held off at that point, but it was a nice day, and it's a beautiful hotel.
Oh, it is. So did that work out? I mean, obviously, you guys are going from the Grand Floridian and from concierge level on Disney Cruise Line. I mean, was it? I mean, of course, it's a deluxe resort, and it's always fun, but you know, did you feel like you were still, you know, having such a great time there at the Beach Club too?
Yeah, it was. We didn't spend a lot of time at the hotel. We were mostly at the park, and then our second day, we had to visit friends down in South Florida, 2 hours away. So we left early in the morning and didn't get back till late at night. So literally, we missed a whole day of Disney fun that day. So we, but on our last day, we went and we had a nice breakfast. And where did we go? I forget where we went. I think we just did the quick service down there, and then we went over to Animal Kingdom. Because my son had reminded me he loves Disney transportation. He had not been on a bus yet.
Uh-oh.
And he was quite upset about this. Because this is the first time we picked a car up at the airport, so we didn't do the Disney Imagineer Express. We didn't do any buses before because we were at the Grand Floridian and we went to Magic Kingdom, so we used the boats and we used the monorail. So he's like, I'm like, okay, we're going to go to the park. So my wife and him went and hopped on a bus to the Animal Kingdom. I took the car and drove over to the Animal Kingdom and everyone was happy, and we hit.
That's being a good dad right there.
Well, it was like, I'm throwing stuff in the car. I'm like, he's like, dad, I haven't been on a bus yet. I'm like, okay, Logan. Okay. Well, we're going to correct this. And they walked over and luckily, like they actually beat me there because like literally the bus was pulling in. And by the time you get to, I mean, Animal Kingdom, it's just a trip. And that parking lot is huge. By the time I took the tram over and everything, they actually were at the gate waiting for me. I'm like, where were you? I'm like, I was doing what I had to do.
that's awesome. And you're right. I mean, it's funny when you ask kids what they enjoy most. I mean, it's usually the swimming pool and Disney transportation. It might not be the big rides.
He loves it. I mean, he loves collecting his transportation cards from the bus drivers and the boats, and he's got a whole stack of them. And that's his thing. I mean, yeah, the rides are fun. Yeah, the lights are beautiful. Yeah, the boat was amazing. Oh, that Star Wars experience was great inside the kids club. But sometimes he just wants to ride a bus.
And that's it. That's good. I mean, like, it makes you want to love your kid and strangle your kid at the same time. Like, we could ride a bus back home. You know, it's like you don't have to spend all this money. But, you know, if I ride with it, they'll like the big rides. So let me ask you one other thing, because I see that as you guys went home, you guys didn't fly out of Orlando International. You guys flew out of Tampa. So what led to that and how did that work out for you?
Well, it worked out very well. Basically, what happened, the only flights out of Orlando were like the 9 a.m., so you have to be there at leave at 6 a.m., and we didn't want to get out that early, so they had a 7 o'clock flight, I think it was, out of Tampa, and it was cheap. It was cheaper than flying out of Orlando. We had the rental car. We'd never been over there. I was like, well, we flew into Orlando. You know, we could try Tampa. It's only an hour away, everybody says, so... So we did it. It wasn't bad at all. It was straight down I-4, literally right into the airport. They took the car. We fly Spirit. That's the cheap airline over here in the East, and wasn't a problem. We actually one of their new planes, and you know, it was the way we ended our trip. It went out without a bang. It was really good. I would definitely do it again. We were calling this the trip of first. You know, the first time we. We did a Christmas party, the first time we rented a car from the airport and flew in one, out the other, and it all worked out great. I would definitely do it again. I don't know when we'll be doing it again, but I know we have a – I owe my son a Legoland trip, so I got to squeeze that in there sometime soon.
Well, there you go. So let me ask you, because we got to wrap it up, but maybe one lesson for folks that are – considering their next trip, maybe they have a son that's 7 or, you know, a kid about that age, and you guys did, you know, kind of a split stay at Walt Disney World with the cruise in the middle. What was one thing you could pass on to our listeners that'll help them plan a better trip?
Do your research ahead of time. Make sure you kind of know where you want to be. It doesn't have to be exact time-wise, but know if you want that Christmas party or if you want that Halloween party, just book it and do it, because, I mean... It's worth the time. It's worth the money. It's worth the smile on your kid's face. And if worse comes to worse, just put them on a bus. They'll be happy.
That's it. I love that. You know what? If you have to fall back, Disney transportation never fails. There you go.
Yes. I mean, it's a great, great thing. And they offer it for free for the most part.
That's it. All right. Well, Ryan, I appreciate your time. Great talking to you up in Jersey. And thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great night.
We sure will. And don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. It's the dog days of summer. It's August now. You need to grab a great book to sit in the hammock, you know, maybe sit at the beach at Castaway Key. Oh, man, we could only wish, or probably just sit on your couch. But you need to check out The Wisdom of Walt because you love Walt Disney. You probably want to know the history of Disneyland, and this book brings it all together. The author, Jeff Barnes, really does take lessons from Walt Disney's, you know, successes and struggles and gives you ways to apply those to your own life to improve your career and just your life goals. So check out thewisdomofwalt.com for more information. You can also grab the book on Amazon. It's in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. So check it out again at thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show also brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Universal Studios Florida vacation, not Disney Cruise Line. They're going to take care of you, though, and let you make the most of that next vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for checking in. We'll be back again on Wednesday with your listener questions. So for Ron, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.